Acts chapter 5,
verses 12 through 16. This is the word of the Lord.
Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. And they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits. And they were all healed. This is the word of the Lord. In Acts chapter 4, verses 29 and 30. The church, under the threat of violence, prays to the Lord that he would grant his servants to continue to speak his word with all boldness, while he stretches out his hands to heal, and signs and wonders are performed to the name of his holy servant, Jesus. And in the verse that follows, in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, we read that they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. And so we read there of how the Lord granted the church's first request, that his servants continue to speak the word with all boldness. But it is not until chapter 5 that we read of his granting the church's second request, that he stretched out his hands to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of his son. And now in Acts chapter 5, verse 12, we read of how the Lord granted this second request. We read that many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. It is worth pausing and noting the difference between the request and how the request is granted. In the church's prayer, we hear the request that the Lord stretched out his hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of Christ. But in the fulfillment of that request, we do not hear mention of the hand of the Lord. Instead, we hear mentioned the hands of the apostles. And so we may understand that it was not apart from their hands that the Lord stretched out his hand.
It was through their hands that he performed healings and signs and wonders in the name of Christ. This was a part of the apostles' ministry. And as we have seen before, it was a part of their ministry, because their ministry was the ministry of Christ. You remember back to Luke chapter 9 and verse 1. There the Lord calls the 12 apostles, and he gives them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And in verse 2 of Luke chapter 9, he sends them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. The power and authority given to the apostles should not sound unfamiliar. It should sound to us like the power and authority of Christ himself. For how was the ministry of Christ described throughout Luke's gospel? He came proclaiming the kingdom of God. He came casting out demons. He came healing those who were afflicted. That very ministry of Christ, it is given to the apostles. The power and authority of Christ was given to him that it might bear witness to the truth of who he was and to the truth of what he said. That power and authority exercised by him was a revelation of the kingdom. It was a revelation of the Christ. And the same may be said of the apostles. The signs and wonders done by their hands. This too bore witness to the truth of who they were and to the truth of what they said. If we would know Christ, we must listen to them. For here we see that the words that they speak are his very words. And if we would enter the kingdom of Christ, and we must follow them, for they lead us to Christ, and the blessing of their hands is the blessing of his hands. This is why we confess that the church is one holy, Catholic, and apostolic, true church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the apostolic church, the church founded upon the apostles. For of that foundation, Christ himself is the cornerstone. The signs and wonders done by the hands of the apostles were patterned after the signs and wonders done by the hands of Christ. These signs and wonders were given to assure us that the apostles were given his authority, and that we are not meant to know him apart from them.
that we are to know him through their teaching and fellowship. We are assured that there is power and blessing in their hands. Not their own power and blessing, but the power and blessing of the Lord. Now, in reading about these signs and wonders and healings, we might be tempted only to contrast what we find here in the church of Acts chapter 5 with what we find in the church of our own day. For unlike then, the apostles do not live and walk among us. And unlike then, we do not see signs and wonders accomplished by their hands, or the sick healed by the casting of their shadows. These signs and wonders served their purpose as a revelation of where the Lord may be found, no longer in the temple of Jerusalem, but now in the church of Christ. But if this church to which we belong is indeed the apostolic church, then there must be something here described of the church in Acts chapter 5 that would describe our own church as well. We do not want to dwell upon the differences between the church as it then was and the church as it now is, without also considering how they are the same. How the church as it is now still reflects the church as it was then, and how it participates in the same glory and the same grace. And to do this, we may focus our attention not upon the signs and wonders, but instead upon the apostles' hands. As we said before, there's power and blessing in their hands. Again, not their own power and blessing, but the power and blessing of Christ by his Spirit. And if we are to appreciate the significance of their hands, we would do well not only to consider the hands of Christ before them, but also the hands of the high priest before Christ. Those hands that anticipated the hands of Christ. And as we think back upon the work of the high priest, we may ask, what were his hands for? What were the hands of the high priest for? The hands of the high priest were for blessing. As we read in Leviticus chapter 9, verse 22, then Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them. The hands of the high priest, they were for blessing.
was to lift up his hands toward the people and say to them, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." It was power and blessing in the hands of the high priest. Not his own power and blessing, but the power and blessing of the Lord. The Lord was pleased to bless his people through the hands of his priest. The hands of the high priest, they foreshadowed the hands of Christ. The blessing and power found in those hands foreshadowed the blessing and power to be found in the hands of Christ. We should not be surprised then at what we find at the end of Luke's gospel. What is it that we find Christ doing at the end of Luke's gospel, having been raised from the dead as he ascended up into heaven? Luke chapter 24, verse 50. "And lifting up his hands, he blessed them." There was power in his hands. There was blessing in his hands. And by his hands, the Spirit was poured out upon the church. That ministry did not end with Christ. As we see in Acts, that ministry continues with the apostles. For as the book of Acts unfolds, we will find that the Spirit is given also to the hands of the apostles, the laying on of their hands. And it is why in Acts chapter 6, the seven who were set apart to serve as deacons in the church were set before the apostles, so that the apostles might lay their hands on them. Why? Because there was power and blessing in their hands. The Lord was pleased to use those hands to bless and to heal, to anoint and to set apart. We are to see the hands of Christ in the hands of the apostles. The raising of their hands is the raising of his hands. The laying on of their hands is the laying on of his hands. The power in their hands is the power in his hands. The blessing in their hands is the blessing in his hands. We see this truth in the apostles. But we should not think that this truth ended with the apostles. The raising of hands to bless, the laying on of hands to anoint, this did not end with the apostles. It has remained in the church since the apostles. It has remained with those who serve as they served, as ministers of the word and the sacraments and prayer. Now, we do not understand the minister's raising of his hands or the presbytery's laying on of hands to be a sacrament. Yet we may understand them in a sacramental way as being something like a sacrament. We live in a disenchanted world. We live in an age where symbols are nothing more than symbols, where symbols are meaningless, where symbols are empty. But that is not the world of Scripture. That is not the world that God has made. He does not speak empty words. In his world, the world is enchanted. In his world, sun and moon and star do not only give light, they sing his praise. The earth is full of his glory. And so it is with the minister's raising of his hands, or with the laying on of hands. It is not merely symbolic. It is not an empty action. There is blessing and power in his hands. Not his own blessing, not his own power. The Lord is pleased to use his hands to bless and to heal, to anoint and to set apart. The raising of his hands is the raising of Christ's hands. The laying on of his hands is the laying on of Christ's hands. The power in his hands is the power in Christ's hands. The blessing in his hands is the blessing in Christ's hands. He is not a servant of himself. He is a servant of Christ. This may be difficult to believe. For while an apostle may be called a minister is not called an apostle. While signs and wonders were seen by the hands of the apostles, the same is not true by the hands of ministers. Should we only believe that there is power and blessing in those hands because we have seen signs and wonders by those hands? Blessed are those who do not see, but still believe. For not all who saw those signs and wonders enjoyed that power and blessing. For not all who saw those signs and wonders dare to come near those hands
They saw them. They saw the signs and wonders done by them. Still, they did not believe that there was a blessing to be gained from them. Whatever the differences are that we find between the church of Acts chapter 5 and our own, let us not doubt that Christ is still pleased to bless his people with the hands of his servants. And here then is one more way in which we are shown the importance of the body of Christ to understanding the life of the church. The life of the church is a life that requires the presence of the body. It is a life that requires the presence of the body to enjoy the blessing of Christ's body. For it is in the presence of his people that Christ raises his hands in blessing. There is a sense in which we find this blessing not only in the hands of the ordained, but in the hands of every believer. For why have we all been given hands? Psalm 134, verse 2. That we may lift them to the holy place and bless the Lord. There is blessing in the hands of his people. And while we may not be healed of every infirmity in this place, yet still the church is a place of healing. It is to be a place of healing. Let us then look to the blessing of his hands. Let us use our hands to bless and to heal. Amen.